Well, greetings, dear friends. It's good to be with you again on this Wednesday night. This is our regular Wednesday night Bible class, and it's coming to you from CMI, Bible Research Center here in northwest Arkansas, up in the Ozark Mountains, and we're just glad to be with you tonight. We're going to get right into the lesson tonight. We're still snowed in up here. Got a lot of ice and snow outside, and had a pretty day today, but we're still left with the snow and the ice up here in these little mountains. So let's get right into this lesson tonight. We're dealing with extreme reconciliation. Extreme reconciliation. I want to read to you from Romans. First of all, just to gather up our minds together in the Scripture. We've looked at all these verses time and time again, but just to give us a place to start tonight. Romans 5, verse 10 and 11. For if, when we were enemies. Now I want you to look at that carefully. Enemies. Because Paul is talking about reconciliation here. He defines what we were in sin as being enemies. Not just sinners. Enemies of God. I just want you to think about that. That's not the main title of our meditation together tonight, but I want you to think about that because he uses the term enemies because he is dealing with the aspect of our salvation that is called reconciliation. It is part of the total work of Christ on the cross. We have reconciliation, we have redemption, we have sanctification, we have resurrection, all of that. The substance of all of that is Christ Himself, as we have said. We're talking about reconciliation, and therefore Paul uses the term enemies. For if, when we were enemies, and he's speaking about enemies of God, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved, that is, made complete by His life. And we're going to be looking at that completement tonight. Made complete. How is it that we have been made complete? And not only so, verse 11, not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. I don't know why in King James Version it is translated as atonement. It is a mistranslation. Any Bible scholar will tell you that. It is reconciliation. By whom we have now received the reconciliation. Here is another way that Paul says the same thing. Galatians 2:20. It is exactly the same thing that he is saying here. Remember, reconciled by the death of his Son, then much more we shall be made complete by his life. And not only that, and as a result of that, we joy. Our joy is in God. We joy in God. But how do we do that? Through the indwelling Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. Galatians 2:20, here is Paul saying the very same thing. I am crucified with Christ. That means he is reconciled. Because reconciliation is by the death of the Son. I am. And that next verse 11 says, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. I am crucified with Christ. I am, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And this is so much a reality in the heart of Paul. He goes on, he says, it is in this reality that I live every day. In this natural body, in this earthen vessel, I live in this reality, the reality of the faith of the Son of God. The reality of the faith of the Son of God which worketh in me. The reality of the faith of the Son of God which is in fact the knowledge of the Son of God working in my soul. Yes, he actually refers to the faith of the Son being the knowledge of the Son working in us in Ephesians the 4th chapter. So with those two verses, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And in verse 21, he says, I do not, living by the faith of the Son of God, living in the acknowledgement, in the understanding that it is not I, but Christ who liveth in me, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And Paul is saying righteousness does not come by the law, and Christ is not dead in vain. But the righteousness of God is fulfilled in Christ who dwelleth in the believer. Reconciliation, extreme reconciliation we are finding, is not I but Christ. Not I, but Christ liveth. It's just not I, it's not just not I, but Christ somewhere. It isn't just not I, but Christ having done some thing, some wonderful thing. No, it is not I, but Christ liveth in me. That is the key to understanding extreme reconciliation. We've dealt with the word extreme by saying that reconciliation is gathered up in one, and that one is Christ Himself. Well, extreme reconciliation, which is not I but Christ living in me, then demands on our part, It demands extreme acknowledgement. That reality is to become the acknowledgement of our very soul. I'm thinking now, and I'm turning. Colossians 2. Colossians 2, verse 1 and 2. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many, and he's talking about as many believers, as many of the body of Christ, as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. I still have this great conflict in my heart with regard to them. What is it? It is just this, that their hearts might be comforted. Is this the conflict you have in your heart for the Lord's body? Now that's really the question. Because in every epistle of Paul, we find that this is the burden he carries. More than a burden, this is the conflict that he carries in his heart for the body of Jesus Christ. We would have to understand then that this is the motivating purpose behind his traveling, behind his going throughout the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the motivation behind him being willing to receive any and all means and manners of persecution on behalf of that body, while trying to get to that body and minister in that body and to that body. All of that is to an end. All of that is to a goal. This is why he can say in another one of his epistles, we are killed all day long. We bear death in our very mortal bodies all day long. And we do that so that the very life that we live and the very life that is Christ may be made manifest in those same mortal bodies to the body of Jesus Christ. For it is in those bodies that we are traveling throughout the body of Christ. And therefore we are in jeopardy every day, facing death every day. And yet in another place he says, it is my great joy to do that. What is behind all of that? It's a conflict that's working in the heart of Paul on behalf of the Lord's body. There's a goal that the Lord is working in Paul. And Paul says the same goal is my goal. But it is the goal for every part of the body of Jesus Christ too. And what is it? That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and the word "and" there can certainly be said even, and that's the truth, look it up, being knit together in love, even unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Here it is. To what? Finally coming to what? To what? To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, which is Christ. You know that to be the proper interpretation of that verse. The mystery of God, which is Christ. We are tonight dealing with an aspect of the mystery of God, which is Christ. We're dealing with reconciliation, which is Christ. Which is Christ. Paul says that such a work, such a reality that is revealed in Christ demands an extreme, all-encompassing acknowledgement of our soul. Our soul must be in the acknowledgement of the truth of who Christ in us is. Extreme acknowledgement on our part that we live every day in that acknowledgement. Wherever we are there not simply in that understanding. The understanding brings us to an acknowledgement. We stand there as the very acknowledgement of the truth of God. It is something that we have acknowledged in heaven, in Christ Jesus, and it is that which we acknowledge on earth in Christ Jesus, wherever we are. Sweetheart, Jesus' death on the cross. And this is part of that acknowledgement, part of that realization, part of the mystery of God, which is Christ. The death of Jesus on the cross was not just death to sin. Not only that, but also was our death. Our death. His death to sin would do us no good at all except we become partakers of that with Him. The cross was the death of all that was not and of all that is not. Christ Himself. And out from such a death, having borne that death in His own flesh, in His own body, which was prepared of God for Him. I think it's in our next monthly lesson, The Lamb Upon the Throne, Part 2, that we're going to deal with some of this that I'm talking about right now. But let's go on here. The death of the cross was the death of all that was not, all that is not, Christ Himself. He bore that death. He bore that death. And He did that with every believer in mind. In bearing that death, He created a baptism with which we are baptized, into which we are baptized by the Spirit of God when we are baptized into Christ. Then Christ came forth. He came forth in resurrection, that like as Christ was raised up out from among the dead by the glory of the Father. Why was that? Paul goes on there to say, so that we should walk in newness of life. He says the same thing again. He says the same thing. That he is saying in Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. But he says the same thing in 2 Corinthians 5. And what is it? Verse 14 or 15? 14, I believe. The love of Christ constraineth us, that when one died, all became dead with him, so that those who have Christ as their life now should not henceforth live unto themselves as though they still had their own life. He came forth as one new man. God chose Christ to be that man. The prophets understand that. But unto this man will I look. Yes. The prophets understood that. Christ understood that. He understood that when he told the Father, it's recorded, I think, in John 12, concerning the hour is come, and my soul is bearing the heat of that hour, Father. But what should I say? Deliver me from this hour? Nay, but for this hour I came. Oh, yes. Christ, the one, the only new man, chosen of God. And then us, the believers, who have come by way of the cross. Believers. God chose us to be the body of Him who is raised up out from among the dead. The body of one new man. Making us a new creation, of which Christ is the center, the circumference, and the absolute fullness. For He is the man who liveth in every part of that new creation. He is the man who liveth in every part of His own body. His redeemed body. And that's another aspect of the salvation. Reconciled, redeemed body. Christ being both the Redeemer, the fullness of the body redeemed, and the redemption that now worketh in that body through His taking possession of our soul. You and I growing up into Him who is the head in all things, huh? We have to say the new creation is all about Christ. If any man be in union with Christ, he is a new creation. You take Christ out of that and there is no union, there is no new creation, there is no nothing. Do you ask me, is the new creation all about Christ? I'm going to say absolutely. You ask me, is salvation all about Christ? I'm going to tell you again, absolutely. You ask me, is the Father's house all about Him? I'm going to tell you, absolutely. Is the body of Christ all about Christ? Absolutely. Christ in you, in the believer. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Reconciliation, I say again, to the extreme, is one new man. Well, it is first one who in his death brought all into that same death. Reconciliation is one raised up. Reconciliation is one living in me, living in you, living in his body. Extreme reconciliation is Christ liveth in me. Now, too many of us still see Christ through the veil of our flesh, a veil upon our heart, the veil of our own flesh. He became that flesh. Hebrews 10, I believe it is, but Hebrews says, rending of the veil of his flesh, through the rending of the veil of his flesh. The veil is our flesh, and Christ took that flesh, born of a woman, born under the law, a body prepared for him. He took that flesh upon himself that he may rend it. And that's what he did at the cross. But too many of us, son, still see Christ in a shadowy way. We still see Christ through the veil of our own flesh. And by that I simply mean this. We still see ourselves. It's like that veil is upon my heart, upon my face. And to see him, I'm looking through the veil of my own flesh. And I'm seeing first of all me. We still see ourselves as someone having Christ in us. Now be careful with me. Just listen to me a minute. We still see ourselves as someone having Christ in us, as having Christ as our life. We still see ourselves as being this or being that because of Christ. But here's my point. My point is that we still see first ourselves, and then we try to relate ourselves to Christ because of something that he has done. It's the concept of me and Jesus. And too many of us still have that concept that it's about me and Jesus. But it's not about me and Jesus. It is about this same Jesus in me, living in me. But to acknowledge that, the veil of me must be left with the cross, must be left, as it were, in the tomb, along with the rest of the wrappings of the grave clothes, the veil of flesh, me and my concepts left there, reckoning ourselves to be dead indeed. Paul saying, for you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And it's only when he who is our life is revealed and does appear that you are able to see him and understand your relationship with him in his glory. Extreme reconciliation is by my death. Christ and Christ alone remains as the one who liveth. When He comes into my soul, that doesn't change. When He comes into my soul, it does not at that time become me and Him. No. It's just Him living in me. Hun, that's our salvation. That's our reconciliation. In fact, that's our redemption. In fact, that's our resurrection. In fact, that's our life. It is Christ, not I. I can't tell you it's not I who am saved, but it is not I who live, but rather Christ who liveth in me, and that's what salvation is. The completeness lives in me. The completeness is in Him. We are made complete because the completeness is our life. The completeness lives in us, and we have to look to Him to see our completeness, the completeness of my soul and of your soul. We can't see it anywhere else. It is just Him living in me. And it is never two. It is always one. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me does not equal two, it equals one. Now, I wrote something on this today, so forgive me, I'm going to have to read it to you. What I just said, Christ liveth in me does not equal two, it equals one. Honey, Christ living in a million does not equal a million, does not equal two or a million. It equals one. What? It equals one body having one man living in it. We're the one body because the one man lives in us. We're the one body. He's the one man. He's the one who lives in His own body. Should it not be that way? But again I read, Christ liveth in me. It does not equal two, it equals one. Now, this is not soul annihilation, as some seemingly believe that maybe we teach. No. Soul is not annihilated. What I'm talking about is not soul annihilation, but rather soul reconciliation. The cost of soul reconciliation was my life that He took unto Himself and brought to death. The death of me. But Christ paid that price in His own flesh, in His own body. He paid the price in His death. What was purchased by that price? My soul. Your soul. But it is that through that Son living in me, for that purpose it was purchased. Not for soul life. It wasn't purchased as a new place for me to live. Having once again my own life, my own soul life, dead in sin. No. My soul was purchased that through the Son living in me, the Father be glorified in the soul that He created for that very glory. How is the Father glorified? In the Son, because the Son is the glory of the Father. The Son taking possession of our soul, living there, ruling there, filling there, glorifies the Father, for He is the glory of the Father. Look with me concerning what I just got through saying in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 beginning. That He, God, that God would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. That's the indwelling Son of God, the indwelling Christ. Where? In the inner man. That is your soul, my soul. To what degree, to what purpose? That Christ may dwell in our hearts. He who is the life of my soul may, in the knowledge of Himself, take possession of my heart and take possession of your heart and set up His rule and the acknowledgement of Himself in our hearts, that He might dwell in your hearts by faith, that being the faith of the Son of God. That being the faith that comes when God reveals that Son in our very soul, right in front of the face and the eyes of our very understanding, of our very soul. And go on, that we being rooted and grounded in love. That's the love of God which is in us. We'll definitely be looking at that in our next monthly lesson, which is the monthly lesson for March, April. The love of God. We're looking at the Lamb sitting upon the throne, love made manifest in those monthly lessons, which are available to anyone who wants them, if you'll let me know about it. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height. Look at this, darling. It's what I just got through talking about. It's what I just got through saying. Why was my soul purchased? For this reason. Why is it not I, but Christ who liveth in me? For this reason, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's in our soul through the acknowledgement of our heart. Now unto Him that is able to do everything that I've just been praying for you. To Him who is able to do all of this. To Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or even think. Not only what I pray, but He will do abundantly above all of that. And He will do it according to the power that worketh in us. And hon, that power is Christ Himself. The power of His resurrection. The power of His resurrection. It is Christ. Unto Him. What did I say all this is about? It is unto what? Unto Him, unto God the Father is what He's talking about here. Unto Him be glory. See, now unto Him that is able, unto Him be glory in the church, How? By Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Ho, ho, ho. My Lord, we're talking about Christ in you. This little diagram up here behind me, you can probably see it if I get out of the way. This little diagram. We're talking about the mystery of God, Christ in you, in the soul, in the soul. We're talking about the reality that Paul states in Romans when he says, now, if any man, remember in another place he says, if any man be in Christ, in union with Christ, he's a new creation. I mentioned that a while ago. Look, he says here, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, where? Dwelling in you. He is none of his, except Christ be in you. Why? Because in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him dwelleth all completeness. That makes him the completeness of this soul. And it is that the Lord, that the Father is trying to show us by the Spirit of God. It is that toward which the Spirit of God works continually to show to us that completeness, that salvation, that reconciliation, that redemption, that resurrection, that wholeness. But because we're dealing now with the fullness of God, well, it is an eternal work. World without end, age without end, it is an eternal work of God. The Son revealed to the glory of the Father. My, my. Well, now, having said that, let me say, do not fall into the flesh trap of thinking or of being persuaded by anyone to believe that Christ or that being in Christ or that being a new creation in Christ is simply or profoundly a new place where I now live, where, as it were, I have a second chance. Just think about that for a moment. How can Christ, living in me, otherwise nobody's living there, nothing is living there, no, hon, I am crucified. Whether I like it or not, agree with it or not, if I want to go on to know the Lord or come to know the Lord in any true facet, I must face that reality. I must face that judgment of truth. To the old it is wrath and destruction, but to the new it is life and joy and peace. Telling me that my life is the indwelling Son of God is not a cause for sadness on my part. Telling me that no one possesses my soul, lives in my soul, except the eternal resurrection The I am that I am is not a cause for sadness to me. How can Christ be a place where I live? Or how can being in Christ be a place where I live when Christ liveth in me? Now listen, hon. Christ in you. We have these two terms in the Scriptures. Christ in you, you in Christ. Christ in me, me in Christ. Christ in us, we in Christ. We have these two terms. I want just to get these straight as to not only actual biblical scriptural translation and word meanings, but more than that, much more than that, as to the reality of the thing in Christ, as to the reality of the thing as revealed by the Spirit of God in revealing Christ Himself. Listen to me. Christ in you or in me. Christ in the believer, okay? Christ, so let me say it this way. Christ in you is a positional reality now. I use the term positional because of a purpose. It's His position. That's where He is, and that's where He is now. It is a residential dwelling. It is a habitation. It is a indwelling. It is where He liveth. And I sum all of that up in just that little phrase. It is a positional reality right now. Not one to come, right now. If one is born of the Spirit, Christ is in you. Now, for me or you, to be in Christ, you in Christ, me in Christ, we in Christ. We deal with that phrase. What does it mean to be in Christ? For me to be in Christ is a reality of relationship based on our union with the indwelling Son of God, which is Christ in you. Union with Christ, which is what the term in Christ means. It means in union with Christ. In union with Christ. That's what that means. How in the world can I or you or we be in Christ, in union with Christ, except Christ liveth in me and in you? Union with Christ exists only because Christ is in me. Only because Christ liveth in me. Being in Christ is the same, or being in Christ is the same as being in a living relationship because of a living union with Him. And this reality of union is to be recognized as our union and our relationship one with another.
Going to the board. is my soul in union with Christ? That means, how is my soul in Christ? In union with Christ. It speaks of a relationship. It speaks of a union. That if you were to remove Christ, who is there in His rightful position, in His rightful place, in His rightful dwelling place, in His rightful house, in His rightful... Do you understand what I'm saying? Remove Him. Where is union? Where is relationship with Him? It doesn't exist. Put Him back where He belongs. Christ. In you. Put Him back where He belongs. Now, immediately, my soul is in union with Him. That may not be understood by my soul, and it's not until that Christ is revealed in you. Christ in you, revealed in you. Christ in you, the expectation of glory. Why? Because He's also the glory. And He's the expectation that my soul has of seeing glory. And He isn't far off, He's in me. The term in Christ means in union with. And out of our coming to the acknowledgement of that union, we have relationship with Him. As one having no life but Him. As one having the Son of God in us. As those then who are His body. Because where the term in Christ is used, it is always used in a plural format. It is always used referring to a plurality. Why is that? It is because Christ is not only in me, Christ is in you as well. Then what is the union of my soul with your soul? How is it that we are gathered together in union with Christ? Because Christ is in each of us. Though we are two souls, we are one spirit. We're not two spirits. No. Then how are these two souls, or these trillion souls, or these thousand souls, how are they one body? Because one man lives in each of them. Therefore, the relation and union of my soul with Christ is my union with you and your union with me. And who makes that union one? The one who lives in us. Now, do you see why Paul wanted every believer to come to the acknowledgement of the mystery? Come to the fullness of the riches of the understanding of Christ? To the acknowledgement, to this soul acknowledging, I have no life but Him. I am no one's body but His body. that we come to that acknowledgement with all believers? You understand that that is the very basis of our union with each other? Our union with each other is not based upon what kind of a clay pot we live in, whether it's white, black, brown, yellow, whether it's old or young. No, it is totally and soundly and only based upon the one who lives in us. Wow, huh? For me to reject that reality in you is to reject that reality in me. How can we do that? Well, the fact of the matter is we can't do it. It's done because of ignorance. It's done because of the ignorance of my soul. It's done because of what I've been talking about, the veil of flesh that's still upon our heart where we're playing the game of me and Jesus. Me and Jesus got our own little thing going. Me and Jesus got our own ministry going. He's given me this ministry and that ministry and this and that. And if it's not that, he's done something else for me. Me and Jesus. But it's not about me and Jesus. It's about Jesus in me, Jesus in you, Jesus in whoever. But you see, that's something that the natural man cannot understand because the natural eyes can't see it. The veil of flesh, hon, has got to be taken off of our heart, so that we quit seeing ourselves like we do when we go look in our bathroom mirror. We've got to come to the point where we look into the mirror of God, the glass of God, and we see only Christ. You understand? But there is truly only one issue. I know we bring up all these little issues, some good, some bad, some whatever, issues. But you understand the only issue that the Father is even remotely concerned in or even recognizes is this issue? His Son. So help me, darling. We treat each other like each of us has got a different kind of a son dwelling in us. And there may be some in their ignorance that think that. There may be some in their ignorance that actually thinks. But that's true. But it isn't. It isn't. And I want to tell you something, sweetheart. That's the judgment that every one of us has to face. Now, we'll either face it right now, but we will face it. We'll either face it and rejoice, or we'll face it to our shame. But we will face it. You'll face that judgment that Christ alone liveth in you. You have no other life, and you are no other body. And there is no other issue. Yes, I know what it means to face that. It means I die. That's what it means. It means my heart begins to embrace the reality. Every member of His body must see Him in this way. And that our whole existence is for the purpose that till we all come, for the purpose that we may with all saints comprehend. Well, the Lord will
permit that I say no more about that at this point in time. This reality of union, our reality of union with Christ, the indwelling Christ, is to be recognized and sooner or later must be as our union and relationship and fellowship one with another. Quickened together with Christ means that we, the body, are quickened together as one body. Quickened together, it's you and I that are quickened together. Quickened together with Christ means it is you and I. What does He quicken? He quickens His body. His is the body of His resurrection. It's not just the Christian of His resurrection or the believer of His resurrection. It is the body of His resurrection. The body of His resurrection. Quickened together with Christ is speaking of you and I, the souls who are quickened together with Christ. It means that we are quickened together as one body because we all have the one and self-same quickening Spirit dwelling in us, the Spirit of Christ Himself. Thus, we are in Him, in union with Him, because He is dwelling and living in us. It is His place and position right now. Hallelujah. Well, blessed be the Lamb of God. Christ in the Scripture is not seen as a new place where I can live. He is seen as the one new man who liveth in me and in you, and hath brought us into Himself in that, and He has, because He is in us. He has brought us into union with Himself and has made us to be one with each other. Now, I am not Christ. You are not Christ. But we are one body of Christ. That's the one that we are. Because the one that He is lives in us. Oh, blessed be the Lamb of the living God. Blessed be the Lamb of the living God. Christ is the chosen Son of God. He and He only is chosen to live. And thank God He is chosen to live in me, in you, who come by way of His death and burial. Yes. And through union with Him, Christ living in us, come by His resurrection. But that's not little individual resurrections. That's the resurrection of His body, because the moment that I am born again, I am raised up together with His body. Members that I may never in my lifetime see face to face. Paul said there's some I haven't seen face to face. May never see face to face, but I carry the same conflict for the whole body of Jesus Christ. We in our hearts, hon, must come from place to person, understanding that the place is the person. But it's the person living in me and living in you. Coming in our own hearts from the place where I live to the person who liveth and who liveth in me. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. The place is the person. Who else did anything at the cross but Him? Whose death is it? Whose burial? Whose resurrection? The place is the person. It is not I who live in that person. It is that person who liveth in me. And hon, this is extreme reconciliation. For to me, to live is Christ. Hallelujah. All right, that's enough tonight. We'll stop right here. And I trust that the Lord will open the eyes of our understanding in the very face and reality of Jesus Christ, the indwelling Son of God. Amen. If we can be of ministry, of help, of service to you in any way, please let us know. Go to the website if you haven't been there. Everything there is available to you just upon request. You will find phone numbers to call, emails to send, or addresses, ways to contact us here at the Research Center individually. We welcome you to do that. The only reason that we are on this internet program worldwide is for the sake of the body of Jesus Christ and those whom the Lord will call into that body throughout the earth. May the Lord richly bless you, folks. Thank you who are with us on a regular basis, who are involved with us as you are. Thank you for your involvement, regardless of what method or means it has taken. It means everything to us. And may the Lord richly bless you for it. Amen. Amen.